Munson City Council meeting, November 4th, 2024.
We do one, we do the other.
Okay.
Typically, we had a system in the middle there. Sometimes we put one. Take some off internet. They're pretty good about coming out 3 out of 5. And then, just because when we go into an executive session, we have to shut them down.
Oh, okay.
It's just for the algorithm. We do have to record executive session.
So if you look, and thanks for asking, we got 4 members from so if you flip to the resolution, the title is the squad.
Oh, okay.
Resolution number 24, election of the game. A resolution you just read to.
But you just read that whole topic.
You read this one.
You might want to add something to this general area for the schools.
Thank you, Mayor.
Sir, I'm here to help.
That's a keen eye.
That's the only one tonight.
No, there's two.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, there's two in there. It's just hard to get used to it. There's another one here, and it's for parks. It's for our engineer to take a look at community park restroom project. So he can do his work and get his work. And then we've got an ordinance. And you got, on the base agenda, you've got what the resolution is. You've got read by title and who's doing it, staff report. This follows the statutory process. And for the ordinance.
Right about now. Call meeting order, please. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Councilor White. Councilor Cunningham. Councilor Hobson. Councilor Anderson.
Here.
And I'm here. Adjustments to the agenda, please.
Yes, Mayor, we have one adjustment to the agenda. We'd like to add the school liaison report to would be section 4, reports, boards, commissions, committees, and schools.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Consent agenda. Council minutes for October 21st. Seeking a motion to approve.
I so moved.
Have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Motion carries. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The Council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to speak to Council? Seeing none, thank you very much. Report, boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Morgan, are you up?
It is Bryce.
Okay. Welcome.
Hi guys, I'm Brenna. I'm a junior from Douglas High School and I'm FFA's chaplain. Tonight I'll be giving Douglas High School some news and report. So overall for Douglas High School, we have the blood drive at Douglas High School in the new gym, Thursday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you're interested and want to donate or know someone who wants to donate, you can go to redcrossblood.org and enter capital D Douglas, no space, capital HS to schedule an appointment. We still have slots open. The community is welcome, and you're thanked if you want to join. Also, previously on October 26th, we had our trunk and treat, and it was open to the public. Very enjoyed, and yeah, pretty much for that. We had homecoming on November 2nd at 7:30. The dance was 1950s theme, and this theme will appear more throughout future events. Lastly, for our overall Douglas, is our fall sports teams have come to an end. Football's overall record was 6-3, and their OSAA rank was 17. Volleyball's overall record was 14-7. OSAA ranked number 15. Girls soccer was 4-9-1. OSAA ranked number 33, and boys soccer was 2-12-1, and OSAA ranked number 59. Winter sports will be starting, and that will be basketball and wrestling. And then for Douglas FFA news and reports, we had national convention October 23rd through 26th. Three members and our advisor traveled to Nashville, Louisville, and then Indianapolis. And at national convention, a former graduate of Douglas FFA, Leslie Manor, received her American FFA degree. This month we will have four FFA competitions, including ag sales, food science, rituals, and tractor driving. Anyone in our FFA can compete in these. Additionally, we'll be gearing up for our annual wreath fundraiser. We sell wreaths at the Christmas Craft Fair. That's the first couple days of December. As well as a current fundraiser for chocolate cover hazelnuts, including milk, dark, satin white, and Marionberry chocolate. It's an assorted box. Each box is $20, and 10 of it goes to individuals' FFA accounts for things such as a new FFA jacket. If you're interested in any of these opportunities, feel free to reach out to a student FFA or through our social media. And that's all I have for tonight. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brenda. Before you go, thank you very much. Before you go, I think we'd all like to see samples of some chocolate-covered hazelnuts. Especially that Marionberry one. That sounded pretty good to me.
It is good.
Thank you very much. Good job. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Department reports. Wastewater, Mr. Sherlock is here. I'm not here. The report's in your packet. Lieutenant Stifler, you're up.
I'll stay here. So do you want the staff report then for on the ordinance or
No. Just if you've got anything that's report. Not in your regular report. Okay, thank you very much. Andy Howell, you're up.
Mayor, council, members of the community and general visitors and folks around, just a good evening. Just kind of want to give an update on kind of where we're at with the completed projects up till this current time. So kind of want to start now, and we'll end up at 2018. So it's kind of an overview of some of the things we've done, accomplishments, things that we're pretty proud of. We did four manholes in 2024. This is Underground Tech. We had a private company who's been pestering us for a number of years to come in and do some manhole linings. These are manholes that they'll come in and line them. These particular manholes were in locations that due to the location access, we couldn't really get to. They're not really on our in the collection system where we're going to be addressing in the next number of years. So we elected to do four of those. That was $8,490. These were inflow manholes with water coming into the concrete. Concrete gets all porous, so we wanted to line them. So we're going to monitor those and see how that works. That may be another option for us as another thing moving forward. Our West Side project, which was Glencourt, Rose, Sherry, Abraham, which was bursted, behind Willie's, which we did some bursting there and some manhole relining and changing out there too with some more new manholes. That was completed in 2023. The engineering and the inspection part of that project was $124,397. That was 1,659 feet of pipe replaced. 400 feet of 12-inch storm pipe was also installed with 10 new sewer manholes. The construction cost for that was $1,076,164.61. We use ODOT fund exchange monies for $205,170. So that helped offset that cost. So in 2022, we did an emergency sewer line on Thompson. That was only the 60 feet. That was just east of the school. We had a sinkhole developing there that was could have been, of course, detrimental to the school going on. That was a construction of a little over $17,000. We did a realign project at the pharmacy, 264 Main. That was a asbestos sewer line that we kind of knew that there was a line somewhere, but we really didn't know where it was at. It was one of those things years ago that we figured it would rear its head, and it reared its head as they were carving into that pharmacy and do that the driveway. Everybody goes there. It's really shallow through there. So we had to realign that, move that line out. We had some asbestos pipe in there, which cost us, we had to treat that, which is a little over $4,000, just for the AC pipe removal. So that's they have to tag that. They bag it. It's a hazmat material. It's an asbestos pipe. It was a 6-inch. Then the construction on that was a little over $9,448. The asbestos removal was $4,300. That was about 130 feet of pipe, so just not a lot, but very part of the job.
If I could add to that, Andy, real quick. So that one was really kind of interesting and fun to just witness how Public Works went in there, and they were essentially a Sherlock Holmes team in that regard. They had their CCTV van there. They had all their gadget out, all their people trying to make heads or tails on what that old system looked like. You had spiderweb laterals running, a litany of them in every direction. You also had an engineer on the private side that was pushing a certain direction that probably would have made it more challenging and expensive for Josh Dahlenberg and the Valley Drugs and the property owner. So I think that that project was a very good job of, number one, diagnosing and dissecting the situation there, but also offering some good solutions. There were other things that were essentially collateral damage. You dealt with the HV cellars. Part of that was connected, part of figuring out what was going on over there. So there was just a lot of moving parts of that situation. And for a wide margin, a lot of people don't know what it goes into even looking at what the situation is in order to get to a solution in that regard. So I just wanted to shed a little bit more light in that regard on that.
And Thomas did remind me that because when he was coming into the city, he was out there with us on a lot of these projects. And I kind of space sometimes because, you know, you run into projects, you kind of forget. And that's why it's kind of nice to go back and kind of revisit some of the projects and accomplishments the city's done. So it's pretty exciting to share that with everybody. We had the East Side Sewer and Roadway Improvement Project. That was completed in 2021. That was Ronald, Jorgen, and Theodore. Engineering and inspection for that project was $157,720. That was 1,400 feet of pipe replaced with 6 new manholes and two storm catch basins. We did the Downtown Sewer Improvement Project, which was prior to the Elephant Walk. We wanted to get in there. That was another project that was kind of on the books for years, and it's kind of dropped off. Then the Elephant Walk started up. We knew we had identified that sectional line that was needed to replace. The engineering inspection of that one was $87,246. That was 600 feet of pipe replaced with 4 new manholes. So there's a construction cost of that was $193,400. We did the down at PD prior to the paving down there. We had another section of main line that was down there that we needed to address and get that out before paving, of course. That was 230 feet of 8-inch concrete. We did that in 2020 for $45,000. And then we get to Snow Pump Station. That's been, up to this point, one of our larger projects. That was a new pump station with a triplex, which is a 330 horsepower pumps. Then there with a standby generator. The new station is, some of you folks might recall, it was an old dry well, wet well combination where every week we had to enter, do a confined space enter. It's about 26 feet to the bottom of that dry well. So that's all been upgraded now. It's designed and sized for appropriate flow coming. So that was completed in 2020. It actually started about late 2016, 2017, but it was actually completed in 2020. But that was 1,050 feet of 18-inch HDPE pipe. That was 6 48-inch manholes, 2 60-inch manholes, the wet well, the pumped controls. Engineering inspection for that project was $313,543. The construction cost was $1,089,839.77. That was still $90,000 below the second lowest bid at that time, so we came in pretty good about that. $500,000 of that was forgivable through DEQ. So that was a pretty good chunk of money there that saved for the city. Then we did the emergency sewer line on Oak Street. That was 437 feet of AC. That was in 2018. That was emergency situation that backed up. That was could have been very bad, of course, but we did some bypass pumping and things like that. This is not including none of that. This is just the mainline repair itself. The construction cost of that was $114,180. Up to date, this is current up to date engineering. It was $682,593.50. We had the construction of $3,203,959.38. We've done the grants of totaling $911,482.75. We've replaced 5,695 feet of pipe, and we've replaced 28 sewer manholes. Just put it in perspective, we have over 25 miles of pipe in the system. We have over 680 manholes. So this is like a drop in the bucket. We're at 25 million of identified projects. These projects we did are all identified as outlived their useful life. And we are trying to, everybody knows by now, it's not just here, it's pretty much everywhere. It's up against the wall time for infrastructure. Everything has a life expectancy. Roads, buildings, water, sewer, everything has a life expectancy. So anyway, that's just kind of an update. Wanted to update the council on some of our accomplishments. Wanted to share that with council and with residents. So.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. I got one comment. That $25 million that we referred to, I believe $5 million of that was for the plant upgrade. And the other $20 million is an engineer's estimate that is, what, 3 years old now?
Yeah, that's going to get larger. And that's one thing is these numbers is... They just get bigger.
So we're probably looking at another, what, 30% on top of that?
real quick, if I may, the sewer rate study shed a lot of light on this and was able to, rendered us capable of updating some of those numbers. The $5 million for the plant was just a guesstimate. That number, of course, the jury's going to be out on that. But our number for just the collection system is clear up north of 25,000 just for the collection side. And that's just looking at the 5-year capital improvement plan that he put in the rate study, and you update that year to year as you carve away at this stuff. North of 25 million just in the collections. And then when you're looking at the plant now, because when we originally devised that thing, it was 20 million for collections, 5 million for the plant. Well, once we did the sewer rate study, that number is clear up 25, 26 just for the collection side. So you can anticipate, I mean, we're pushed up. If you're using that conceptual number of 5 million for the plant, almost to 30 million for that number now.
Andy, what's the current status of the siphon project?
We are still, and Thomas can dove into a little more on that with the cross cutters and things like that. I'll let Thomas kind of talk on that one. So.
Yeah, so that's been a grind, as you know. We're kind of at the 11th hour, the bottom of the ninth, in terms of our conditions. A lot of these conditions have been in our court for some time. We finished them, and now the conditions are in the people that review what they need to review. It's in their court. It's in EPA's court. It's in DEQ's court. Are the things that we are doing that we've done already kind of put it to them, and they go through. Of course, that's a federal program, so they take their time. They kind of follow their own schedule. The only thing that we still have left doing that we're doing concurrently with some of these state and federal review agencies and going through their processes are archaeological review that's still out on that. Alex, with the company we're working with, you passed a resolution to have him do the work. a few council meetings back. He's requested the permit so he can do the surveying work. He'll be performing that analysis. We have a drop dead date for that in the middle of December. We'll probably go past the clear past the new year. We were on a Zoom meeting this morning at 11 with DEQ going over these requirements. We have on the schedule, we have a revolving meeting every 2 weeks to where we're talking about updates. There was a few tweaks that they wanted to the floodplain certification review. We put that over to the county to get that clarification. We should get that back in short order. That's just a housekeeping item. But really, the city is just in a waiting game right now, waiting for these agencies to give us our approvals. We made our pitch and put all of our information over.
So basically, are we looking maybe about 18 months down the road before there's a shovel that's being dug?
We are expecting to do the physical siphon project in this next fiscal year. We are expecting that, and we're expecting to do the Abraham trunk line in the following fiscal year.
Thank you.
Mayor, I did have one more thing to add. Also, we utilize the ODOT fund exchange monies, which is the city of Winston has 7 miles of federally funded streets within the city. So we get a certain chunk of federal monies that it's ODOT fund exchange. It's federal monies. We exchange them for state monies, which makes projects less cumbersome once you follow federal. Anyway, that was some of those projects. We were able to accomplish the projects, the street projects, utilizing that money. That process has changed. The last check we have was a little over $71,000 in 2023. We looked today, and the next check we're going to get from them, they just sent a check out now. We checked today, and it was January 24 for about 72. So that process has changed. So it means it doesn't. It's anyway. Just wanted to let council be aware of that also. So anyway, that's all. That.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other more questions for Andy? Thank you, Andy. Appreciate your help. Mr. McIntosh, administration, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. Good evening, members of the audience. Real quick, just a couple things for you. I'm sure that you've seen this before in previous fiscal years, but SAFE is our workers' comp program, and they pay back these dividends when, potentially they're in situations to where they have collections beyond their needed coverages. So we've got essentially what's called a kickback check in the amount of $2,700. $2,751, so that's monies that can go back into our coffers. So just wanted to let you know on that. I'm sure you see this probably every year. It's a program they don't have to do, but it's a kickback that the city, it's a consortium, of course, as you know, it's the same thing as what we deal with on CIS for our insurance. So that's a positive thing. The other thing I wanted to let you know, and I'm going to send this out in an electronic email to you, but Saving Grace sent a thank you letter to the city for the proceeds that were donated from the Wine Walk event in the tune of $4,763.75. So there's a very nice, very kind thank you letter that went to the city. We received a request from the Winston-Dillard Area Chamber of Commerce to utilize the Visitor Center room. If you get a moment, you can take a look. We've done quite a bit of work in there. It's been cleared out. It's now available. It has a lot of potential. The chamber has just been kind of had a rolling effort and gaining a lot of momentum. Shannon sent the request. She's here in case you have any questions. But what we have is their board would want to utilize that room the second Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. would be the request.
Do we need to have a motion to approve that?
Yes, sir.
I'm awaiting a motion to approve the new chamber's use of our extra room.
I make a motion that we approve giving the Chamber of Commerce that room to use.
Have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. There you go, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Shannon.
Thank you.
A couple things left. We have been evaluating everything we can in the realm of cost savings. And our new IT department has helped us to identify a potential area that we can save some costs. We utilize DFN, Douglas FastNet, for our landline phones. We have 27 at the PD, we have 2 at Public Works, and we have 5 here. It's a 34 total lines. And if we, there's a operation called Zoom phone. So there's the Zoom meetings. They're the virtual meetings. Well, they have landline phones, and you can keep your landline gadget or your actual physical phones. You don't have to get new ones. And our IT department has been kind of pushing that. They use it. It works great. It's a next gen, and it has cloud abilities to where you can go online and you can check your voicemails there. Those, if we switched all the lines that we could, it could have a cost savings of $510 per month. That's about $6,100 a year. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Why does the PD have 27 phone lines?
Not all of those are dedicated to actual landline phones. Maybe, Ralph, you could talk
about it. I believe a lot of them are data lines.
Okay. You believe?
Yeah, we don't have 27 phones, so I'm guessing including the data lines.
Okay.
So our IT department looked at our DFN bill, and that was the number that was produced and confirmed by Sandy over at the PD. But $510 to $6,100 in a fiscal year, that's what we're looking for, to try to create some cost savings.
Is there any down, is there any, that's the pro, is there any con to it? I mean, is there any lack of...
what's the downside?
Yeah, what's the downside? Any downside?
If we were switching the other direction, and if you go to DFN, they don't have... cloud ability, they don't have next-gen abilities to where you can go online and maybe check those things if you don't have access to, then I would say there might be some cons, but we haven't identified any potential cons. There's always some, I'm sure, if you look for it.
Well, talk to Sergeant Herbert, Lieutenant Stilford about the cons.
I guess we'll talk later. So just wanted to kind of put a plug in on that. The last thing, and maybe we should have did this first, and we'll maybe rip the Band-Aid off, but Councilor Anderson put her resignation in due to relocating outside the city limits, so I don't know if you want to take it away there.
Yeah, it's a little bit bittersweet, and I am so thankful that you guys have let me do this position. I think we are moving in a really good direction. I'm so excited about the things that we've done. But yeah, I can't serve anymore because I'm no longer eligible, so... I'll see you guys around. We're still in Winston, just outside of the city limits is what we will be. So, yeah, it's been really fun. So thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you. We appreciate all you've done.
Great change.
We're thinking about moving the city limits line.
I think we're a bit tardy on that design. I appreciate the thought. Wow.
So, yes, this will be my last meeting. So.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your service to this point.
Absolutely.
Mayor, I have the resignation letter that I can submit to you, but we do need a motion to vacate your seat and to start the appointment process.
I'm not ready to do that.
At your convenience.
Okay, seeking a motion to usher Alicia out the door.
Great tribulation to make this motion to vacate her seat.
Seeking a second.
I reluctantly will second.
Have a motion and a reluctant second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? Aye. No. Well, thank you. You've served your city well, and we really appreciate all you've done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else, Thomas?
No. Thank you, Mayor.
You've done quite enough. City Council workshop dates. Anything new there?
None at this time, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, Resolution 241158, the Black Pearl Excavating and Excavation for the Northeast Darrell, Northwest Tumlin, and Antique Mall Project. My title only, please. Debbie, is that you?
It's me.
You, Thomas?
She's going to listen in today and maybe take that on in future meetings.
Okay, Thomas.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1158, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Black Pearl Paving and Excavation for construction and completion of the Northeast Darrell, Northwest Tumlin, and Antique Mall Sewer Street Improvement Project for an amount not to exceed $1,068,744.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Howell, you're up.
Yes, sir. So we had bid openings for the project was October 1st, 2024, 2 p.m. at City Hall this year. We had three bids that were received. Jesse Rodriguez Construction, LLC, was $1,278,521. Cradar Enterprises, Inc. was $1,211,446. Black Pearl Paving and Excavation was $971,586. The engineer's estimate for the project was $1,239,645. So part of this also, we want to do a base bid breakdown. So kind of basing the overall project down a little bit. On Tumlin, the Safe Routes to School work, this is minus the sewer work on Tumlin. This is Black Pearl's numbers that they put in. We're just breaking them down for everybody. It was $276,251. The Darrell and Tumlin portion of the work is $512,402. The Antique Mall portion of the work is $182,933. So to go a little step further on this also, we went and decided to put numbers to pipe and project. That's what it's driven on. It's footage, whatever you want to call it. Big footage or little footage. Anyway. So on Tumlin, the storm work on Tumlin, which is, now I'll just remind everybody, we have the Safe Route to School project, which is a big project. So Tumlin is critical. We're doing that strictly for the school. That the sidewalks, the work down there, the city's made a big push to get down there. Not, you know, we have the sewer. Yes, the sewer's bad. We know that's why it's doing the roads bad. Yes. But the adding the sidewalks and everything else outside of that, that's for those kids. It's all safety. It's highly important. Huge project. So on the Tumlin portion of the Safe Route to School portion of this project, that number we talked about on Tumlin minus the sewer, that this is the work. This is the work part of it. So it's 318 feet of 18-inch storm pipe. There's 90 feet of 12-inch storm pipe. There's 7 catch basins. And there's 4 48-inch storm manholes. On the Darrell Tumlin portion of the work, it's 724 feet of 12-inch storm plastic pipe, 9 catch basins, 805 feet of 8-inch sewer pipe, 17 lateral connections. On all new stuff, we run out 2 inches of right-of-way with cleanouts. So an all new construction. 5 48-inch sanitary sewer manholes. The Antique Mall portion of it, right over here, is 400 feet of 8-inch HDPE high-density polyurethane thick-walled pipe for bursting. 6 lateral connections and 2 manholes. It's going to be pretty tight over there, but we're going to be behind the mall replacing a manhole that's completely gone. There's a clean-out up here in the end, close to past the Abbey's. We're going to install a manhole, relocate the 2 laterals from Mucho's. Mucho's runs underneath Abbey's, actually. It's really tight. It's a really tough area. The city, we elected to do some outside scope of work. I know I'm going to get them, but I want to make sure everybody understands this is a big project for us again. A lot of moving parts, like Thomas said earlier. So we were actually looking at one point at rerouting that Mucho's sewer lateral. But guess what? It comes down to dollars and cents. It comes down to just reality of life. We don't have the monies to do that. So we're going to put a manhole in out there, though, and give them a direct connection to the manhole that's out there now. Right now they connect to the main line out there. So that's the overview part of the project. Sorry about that. I just wanted to get everybody up to speed on the scope of the project. The engineer recommendation is to award the project to Black Pearl Paving Excavation for the $971,586. Staff does recommend a 10% contingency for the total of the $1,068,744. And that's a staff recommendation. I think we've done a project now that typically it's a pretty good idea to put that 10% in there. The financial impact, and we went ahead and added where we're at for monetary, what we have in our coffers right now. The city funds, we have street and drainage amount of $231,235. I know, I'm sorry. I never try to get right to the point. I know that whenever they're big numbers, my boss wants me to be accountable.
It was a number.
So, yeah, I know. So, I just got to follow direction like everyone says. Okay, and we have have ARPA monies that were left over from $345,154, and then our mainline replacement funds of $546,746 for a total budget amount of $1,123,135. After the Blackbird, the project, including that 1,068, that'll leave us $54,391 in that account current. So that's where we're at. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sorry. So basically, we're paying cash.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Basically.
So, Andy, the antique mall part of it, is that behind the antique mall or is it along the road?
It's underneath the antique mall.
It's underneath the antique mall.
That's what makes it a little challenging.
That's what you call planning ahead, right?
And underneath Abby's too.
Yeah, there, the Mucho's private lateral goes underneath the Abbey's. And then we have another 14-inch underneath the other end of the building. And we have, anyway, I'm not going to...
Our main line doesn't run under Mucho's, but their lateral going into our main line runs under that structure. And the corner, the western corner of the antique mall, it goes under there and goes to a manhole on the other side there. So that... you know, just to piggyback off that, cash, yes, all of the money in our coffers, but this is a good example of the citizens putting money in and you put it back into the community. You're fixing things with the monies. So, and the ARPA funding really allowed this project to happen because through your budgeting process at the beginning of the fiscal year, you sent $345,000 to the Streets Drainage Fund, and there's a significant amount of paving in this. And we're hitting three really dire areas of the city. So it's a good project, and it was a we're glad that a bid came in under, so we can do it. The other two, that would have been tough. They were both at 1.2, so we're just kind of eking this out.
And the ARPA funds have to be spent. There's a deadline on them. So
July 1, 2025. That's right.
So, good.
And we're doing that.
Yes. Any questions from the audience? Comments? Okay. Thank you. Anything else from council?
What's the schedule, you think, Andy?
As soon as council signs that and they get their
mayor's
hut, they can start ordering their, and they probably have, to be honest with you, ordering their parts and pieces and trying to get the schedule together. One of the things we're looking at can be a little more difficult is the school, because we all know how that backs up. And we had the conversation with the school explaining that, hey, listen, longer these projects take, the more it costs. So we understand their school and stuff, but we have a 2-week window at Christmas. We got to get creative on here, so got to get it done.
You can't do this in 2 weeks.
No.
Can they just use one side, go in and out one side?
That's what we're going to They're going to have to work with us on this and get this thing done, because it's.
We've had conversations in that regard. And Tumblin, we get reimbursed 80%. In the tune of 80%, because it's part of the Safe Routes to School grant that we got approved for, but just that element. But yeah, that's the detriment.
We have to spend the money before we can get reimbursed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Council action, looking for a motion for approval of Resolution 24-1158.
I so move.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
I second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Resolution 24-1159. The Community Park Restroom Project, by title only, please, Mr. McIntosh.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1159, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the City Manager to enter into an agreement with Medea Development LLC, or Scene Warren, to conduct an evaluation of the Community Center Park Restroom for an amount not to exceed $7,250.
Excuse me, my copy says $9,500.
You'll get an updated copy shortly. That's the incorrect number there.
Okay.
I think the one we have in your folder to sign has been corrected.
Well, the one on the computer is this 9,000. Okay, so it's actually
7,200, yeah.
Okay. Staff report, please. Mr. Howell?
Yes, sir. So basically, everybody is aware of the restroom up there. It's outlived its useful life. Not good. So without going into a whole long detail other than the fact that this project, the nice thing about working with Scene Warren, with Medea, is it's similar to what we did at the pavilion. So we will have cost, because I had a lot of folks come up to me and said, well, just put a new bathroom there. We'd love to, but we have to be able to demonstrate to council, you know, here's the cost. We're going to give three different viable options. It'll provide numbers to the options of what we can afford. And that's what it boils down to. We can look at different scenarios, but one of the things we want to wrap in also is the access, the public access to the restrooms, including ADA. That'll be critical. Is tying this thing in, and so that'll be part of this 50 hours with Scene for that $7,250. Okay. That's kind of where we're at.
What are you looking at for options here? Remodel, raise it, start over. What are your considerations?
For me personally, right off the bat, have you guys been out to like River Forks? We've really been looking at the, because it's kind of, it's to the point this day and age, having these big bathrooms are open up. There are safety concerns. I've had several females come up and voice concerns of safety walking, these people walk into them when they're in there with their children in these wide open bathrooms. So doing the single stall with just a sink, a toilet, would be like potentially four little restrooms with this stall and bathroom. You could close up, open one up if you needed it. At an event, you can pull four up, six or whatever. So that's kind of looking at something like that. If we had the monies, the great world would be a whole new plop one on the top of that foundation, utilize existing utilities that are there and plug into it. That would be the ultimate dream. Can we do that? Okay. My thing tells
you. You don't have a wag on the cost of something like that?
Kind of. They're not cheap. We know what the pavilion was. You're looking at $350,000 to $400,000.
And this is the park board's plan?
No, this is my thought process.
The park board recommendation.
This is their park board recommendation.
Okay.
Coming forward, we're going to make this. We are going to get a new restaurant there.
One way or another.
We are going to get a restaurant.
Okay. I don't disagree.
No.
Okay. Comments from the audience? Questions? Anybody? Council? Thank you, Andy. Appreciate your help there. Looking for a motion to approve resolution 241159.
I make a motion that we approve 241159.
Motion looking for a second?
Second.
You can't?
Oh, I can't. Someone.
Sorry, but thank you.
Oh, I can't. Oh,
you can't. Quit. No, she's done.
She's done. We accepted her. Finish this.
We accepted her resignation. Okay. Sorry, Alicia.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Both same sign. Thank you. Ordinance 24718, amending the municipal code regarding prohibited parking. First reading by title only, please, Mr. McIntosh.
I apologize, Counselor. Don't let you sit up there for the rest of the meeting. I'm sure it.
She makes us look so good.
Ordinance number 24-718, an ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, amending the Winston Municipal Code, Title 7, Chapter 71, Section 7103 and 7125, regarding parking in certain public spaces and adding a new section, 71.30, outlining noticing standards.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. We're going to get a staff report from Lieutenant Stifler, please.
So basically, we're changing the verbiage of the previous ordinance to be more inclusive to the ORS, and this will give us the ability. There's been a little bit of question about what can be towed off the city streets as far as different types of vehicles. This will clarify that. Basically, if it can be driven or drawn upon the highway, we can tow it. Once it's been declared abandoned. It will also add the prohibition of being able to park in front of other people's mailboxes. Currently, we don't have any teeth. You can park in front of your neighbor's mailbox, and there's nothing we can do about it.
So will this preclude residents from parking RVs, perhaps, in front of their house, like a trailer or...
If it's been over 24 hours... It can be considered as abandoned and be towed.
Even if it's right there in front of their house?
Correct.
Wow.
And even though they may have a place where they can't park?
Well, and there is discretion there that right. we use with that.
This well, is, but see, the thing is, they're not writing discretion into the ordinance.
Correct.
We will have internal discretionary policies, if you will. This is obviously not meant to go after, you know, people that may, you know, have someone in town or they may be putting their RV out there. But we have RVs out there and fifth wheels that clearly have aged and they have decay underneath them where they haven't done anything for a long duration of time. And it's really meant to target those areas in order to help beautify the public spaces.
Well, what about those derelicts, let me use the word derelicts, that's on private property?
Don't talk about Alan.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I've always been, how can I say this nicely?
No, just no.
I've always been taught to be nice to my disabled. But it's more about that. Seriously,
I was
though.
Harsh. I was just trying to be clever, you know, but mean.
Right. You got derelicts that are on property that, for instance, a good one of them is right across by Public Works, that fifth wheel.
Okay. Is it on the street or is it on property?
It's on property, but the tires are even rotted off.
No, right. So those would fall under the junk vehicle ordinance. Mm-hmm.
Then if that's the case, how come they're not being removed?
You would have to go through the abatement process on the junk vehicles if they're not in if it continues after being going through the proper channels.
We can certainly go through voluntary compliance, and it's tough. We have a very finite amount, and by the way, it's relatively nuanced, the abatement amount that we have, which is 15 grand. Five is kind of earmarked, and we've been really utilizing that line item in tall grass and very bad vegetation, fire danger situations, and really it's kind of a, you know, what avenue do we want to take? We haven't seen any formal complaints in that regard, and usually that's what triggers us. But if we wanted to go after those, eventually you have to have some money in your coffers to put in for abatement. And you're hoping that they get... Go ahead, Mayor. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I think they kind of went a little bit astray from what the subject of the ordinance is. Could we... install at some point in time possibly a permit system where people could permit their vehicles in front of their homes like that, rather as long as they were movable. That's something to think about.
We would probably have to write in some language from a permitting standpoint into
this.
Go
back and readdress.
We're still
going to
have a discussion on it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's two readings on this. If you we can certainly look at that, make some updates, and maybe fold in some additional language that would allow them to have a week allowance or a 2 week allowance under a permitting guidelines. You know, if you decide to forward this to a second reading.
Any questions from the audience? Comments? Questions from council for Lieutenant Stifler?
Mayor, I have a question. If I may, real quick, just clarification. So Shannon Nelson, 1060 Northwest Matthew Street. This is just for those that are parked on the street, not those parked on our private property, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
My comment on that would be, because sometimes it causes a traffic safety issue. Right. Say it is, you know, in front of your property on the street, because if you're backing out of your driveway or, you know, there's safety issues. In fact, there was one on... over off of Winston Section, it was right in front of a stop sign. So that could have easily caused a traffic accident because you're pulling out and you can't see anyone because the trailer is blocking your view.
Right.
So well, in some instances, you know, I would
it
say...
It needs to be corrected.
It's a safety issue. But
yeah. So I think it's a great idea. It's just...
Yeah, how to word it.
How to word it, yeah. Okay, so looking for council action, if there's no more questions or comments... To move this to a second reading?
I would move it to the second reading, but I definitely would like to see some clarifications in here.
Allow for a permit process for a certain duration?
Allow people that have an RV or something that they don't have room for inside their property to at least for a while. I mean, some period of time.
And on a permit by permit basis, certainly citizens can justify that. That problem that they may have in terms of lack of storage on their property, they can demonstrate that, and it would give credence to approving a permit. And normally you see these restrictions in terms of 24 hours in a CC&Rs or HOA, and certainly the city's not trying to deploy a citywide HOA. This is just as much about safety as it is about beautifying public spaces and keeping them nice.
To former Councilor Ederson's point.
Well, if there is going to be a permit process, one, would there be a cost involved in the permit? And two, would the permit be, like, say, one for 24 hours would be such and such, and 48 hours would be such and such?
I think it's going to be needs to be a blanket, personally.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm asking.
We need
the
a
question.
Discussion, definitely. A
couple things.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, a couple things on that. Whenever we do a permit, we're using staff time to do it, so there typically is an associated cost. What that cost would be, we can certainly do a comparative what other cities do and what a comparable amount would be. The other thing, too, is permit. If you approve a permit, usually by default, it's something that property owners can extend. So in lieu of that, if you give them an initial 2 weeks or 30 days, then it's something they can certainly come down to the city again and pitch the fact that, hey, we're still experiencing this hardship, so we need to extend our permit. And that's typically free in that regard.
Okay, then another question I have is there going to be some restrictions put in on the permit of, let's say, you cannot park within so many feet of a stop sign or...
Well, that's already
or SRA has that.
That already has that.
Yeah, it's covered.
Okay, well, maybe we can reconsider some of these issues at the second reading. I need a motion. We already did that, didn't we?
I moved to second.
So do we get a second?
Yes.
Okay. Fine. Lose in touch with reality here at the end. Okay, upcoming agenda items.
Mayor, if I may, we need a vote on that.
Okay, sorry, I thought we missed something. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? Thank you very much. Mr. McIntosh, upcoming agenda items, please.
At your December meeting, it's very possible that you will see a resolution for considering updates to our city employee handbook. We've done quite the overhaul to that. The city in November will be for a comment period for employees to give feedback so that we can factor those things in if they make sense to make additional changes. And then you should see that on that particular council meeting.
Thank you. Non-agenda items from council. Anybody got something they want to offer? Go to the order. The check copies we got in our computer process. Claims in excess of $5,000. Announcements, November 6th, Planning Commission, 7 p.m. right here in City Hall. November 7th, Urban Renewal Agency, City Hall at 5 p.m. Got a lot of stuff to do on that one.
Yep.
November 11th is Veterans Day. City offices will be closed. Go attend the parade in Roseburg. November 13th, Economic Development at noon in City Hall. The city offices will be closed November 28th and 29th in observance of Thanksgiving.
Do we have a council meeting on the 18th? It's not on here.
Yeah, we should at this point.
If you'd like to have one the second meeting, typically, I think because of the Thanksgiving holiday,
well,
you usually don't.
I think we're considering we should really have a second meeting on the schedule, please.
What day would that be? Park Board on the 12th at 4 p.m.
Park Board at the 12th.
Yeah, and okay. The council meeting would be on the 18th, I believe.
Right. Perfect. Any other comments?
Just real quick, since Alicia is not going to be here and she is on the park board, do we need to have another reappointment?
What do you think? Alan needs something else to do? Actually, Dory is good with the park board. She's done that before.
She also has economic development.
But can you just do one meeting until we get maybe somebody else we can put on it, Dory.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Councilor White will attend the park board meeting. Thank you. Executive session pursuant to ORS 192.6602I to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of any public body, a public officer, employer, staff member who does not request an open hearing. We have one of those. So thank you all for attending. You're more than welcome to come back when we finished our discussion with Mr. McIntyre.
Closing for executive session. At what time is it? 7:52 p.m.